So we are talking through the Song of Songs. We have 2 weeks left, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. God gave me a beautiful gift this week, I have to tell you. I was scrolling through. I'm kind of always looking at different resources and things, trying to get ideas. And one of the things I enjoy about my job is research. And I just happened to glance at a headline on CNN. And it was just this beautiful gift that God gave me that in March, I don't know if you know this, Justin Bieber is featured on the cover of Vogue magazine with his wife Haley. Can you see that? Make sure you can see. And when Carrie and I had our photos made, it looked a lot shockingly similar. I think they stole our ideas. You know, it was
all the way down to the tats.
And the tats, yeah. I mean, I took them off afterwards.
Oh, did you?
But you know, they were temporary. They were temporary. Yeah, I just thought I want to look edgy. For those photos. So they did an interview, and they've been married since September. Okay, so 4 months, 5 months, something like that. And in it, though, what the gift was that Justin shared something that I thought was so profound, and everyone else did too, because it actually made the headline of CNN. And this is what, let me make sure I get this right. Just bear with me. Marriage is hard.
You're still trying to get over that.
I'm still wrapping my head around that one. And incredibly, can I tell you that in the interview, I'm so pleased, they reported that they have no intention of throwing in the towel. Since September. They are persevering. It's an inspirational story, really. They're persevering. I shouldn't make fun of them. God bless them. They are, right?
Yeah.
We've all been there, okay? So
they're married for 20 years. You eat your words, right?
I hope they will be. I'm not questioning them at all. We all remember what it was like when you're newlyweds and you suddenly discovered that it was harder than you thought. It's like, wait a minute. How did this happen? Okay. So we're in this room because we are not newlyweds, and we have figured out that it's hard, and that's why we're going through the Song of Songs, because we need to be reminded of romance, and that's really what this book is about. This is a celebration of romance, of romantic and passionate love. It's all the ways in which you first fell in love with to begin with. And it's an invitation for us to kindle or to rekindle these feelings, these emotions for one another, because nobody wants a loveless marriage. I mean, you just don't. And nobody wants a passionless marriage. Nobody signed up for marriage thinking, man, I can't wait to spend the next 40 years of my life being civil to this other person. You know, it's like, we're just going to, you know, inhabit the same space, but we will get along. Like, that was nobody's dream. But what happens is, over time, and this is not a criticism, this is a reality. Over time, things happen, like kids. Work, job, stress, all the rest of it, tragedy, health, all kinds of things begin to crowd in. And suddenly that romance that was so easy to begin with begins to fade a little bit, and we begin to settle for less. We settle for less than what we want out of our marriage. We settle for less than what our spouse wants out of our marriage. And we settle for less than what God wants out of your marriage. Because God did not intend for you to come together and become one so that you could just exist. So that you could just not get a divorce. That's not his dream. That's not his plan for your marriage. And so nobody wants a loveless marriage, but the Song of Songs is here to help us. It's here to remind us. It's here to inspire us. It's here to invite us to rekindle this passion, okay? Now, the goal is, so I haven't mentioned the goal in the last couple of weeks, but just to remind you, because we're coming up, the last couple of weeks here, and the goal we set is a lofty goal through this series, that you would sit a little bit closer, you'd snuggle up a little bit more, that you'd steal some kisses, that you'd gross your kids out a little bit, right? So you'd whisper sweet nothings, right? All these little intangible things, these little glimpses of romance, these little things that kind of keep the fires burning, we begin to see that. You begin to experience that in your marriages. And I want you to know that my hope and my prayer is that there are babies to be born in November, okay? 9 months from now. I'm keeping tabs. Maybe not with this, anyway. Not in my family, just to be clear. My family's done. My family's done. Exactly. You know, last week, I have to tell you this real quick. Last week, I asked the question, what would your newlywed self say to you if they could see you now in your marriage? And so Carrie thought that was a great question. And so we were actually able to go out and get our date nights are chips and queso because we have to go out after the kids are already in bed. There is a babysitter. Don't call the police. So we're sitting down and we're talking, and she said, that was a great question. What would your newlywed self say if they could? And the general consensus was my newlywed self would not have said anything because I would have been catatonic in the fetal position on the floor as soon as I realized we had four kids, lived in the suburbs, and I was a pastor. That would have been, it's like, one, two, three, he's out. Would have been done. But all kidding aside, I think I would have just been really, really grateful to find out that Carrie was still with me. That would have been okay with me. So I hope you've thought about that question, and I hope you're encouraged or at least inspired by the answer. So we're going to continue. We're doing this series a little bit differently than maybe you've heard the Song of Songs. We're going by song within the song, okay? So there's eight different songs within the Song of Solomon. We're not treating this as a narrative or a story. There are sort of many narratives within each one of these songs, but it's poems. It's poetry. It's an anthology of poems. And so if you think of the structure of it, you have like the overall song, and then you have these songs that make up the song, and then each of the songs is made up of different poems that originally may not have been connected at all. But Solomon is pulling different poems together to create these little mini narratives, these little pictures of romance, of passion, of love. Okay, so we're on the seventh song in chapter 7. And this is going to be a good one. I usually give this disclaimer. It's definitely important that I give it this time. This is a PG-13 class. We're not in our class, but we're definitely not a PG class. So this is PG-13. This is for marrieds. I don't see any little kids, so that's good. But just giving you a heads up, there may be some things along the way you're like, I can't believe you just said that. Just, I'm warning you now. Fair enough? Good. All right. Song 7, verse 11. Come, my lover. Let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. And there I will give you my love. The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my lover. So there's a lot to be said in these few verses. We're going to spend quite a bit of time here. One thing I want you to see at the very beginning, this imperative at the very top here, come, the sense of this carries this idea that the invitation will end up being for the benefit of the person who's invited. And so this invitation is made by the woman to her lover, and she's saying, come with me, and the implication is you're going to like what happens. In other words, she has plans for him, if you know what I mean. So she's saying, come with me, this is going to work out well for you. Let us go early to the vineyards, and then she describes this. And then the mandrakes send out their fragrance. Real quick, mandrakes, you ever seen a mandrake before? They're really ugly little vegetables, I'll be honest. But they were considered an aphrodisiac, and they also were considered something that would help a woman get pregnant. So she's saying, I've got something in mind here, okay? This is sending out their fragrance, and I've stored this up for you. But I want to look at verse 12 for a few minutes. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. Now, in last week's song, there was some very similar language if you were here. There's another invitation to come and let's go see if spring is in bloom. Spring is the archetypal season of love. And so the question is, let's go see if love is in bloom. But if you recall, it was the man inviting the woman. Let's go see. And so the application point I kind of made here was, guys, that timing matters. That when your wife is feeling like when your idea of romance is not necessarily when your wife's idea of romance is. There are good moments and bad moments to try to make your move. And so maybe you should consider that, be sensitive to that, because the question of spring and love, guys, while we sort of get in the mood in a couple of seconds under the right circumstances, our women don't tend to flip the switch in the same way. But this one's different, because who's doing the inviting? It's the wife. She's saying, let's go down and see if love is in bloom. Let's go see if springtime is happening, but here's the deal. She already knows the answer. See, guys, you need to see what the answer is. You're sensitive to that timing thing. What is the answer? I hope. But she already knows the answer because the vines that have budded, the blooms that have opened, the pomegranates in bloom, that's all her. In other words, this is an invitation with a capital I. She has plans for him. Okay. But this is very flirtatious. Do you hear it? She's saying, let's go down and see. Wink, wink. I mean, he gets it. He knows what's happening, but she's not just saying it. She's flirting. Okay? She's flirting. Here's something that I have discovered, and I think you probably have discovered as well. Flirting can be a lost art for married couples. You used to be great at it. You used to do it all the time. And then suddenly you get married, and it's like, how do I flirt with this person? I see them every single day. How do I catch their eye? How do I get their attention? So flirting, you'll notice, is throughout these songs. We see it all the time. There's another place, for you recall, where she says, oh, I'm not that beautiful. Do you remember this? I'm just one of the lilies of the field. How does she mean that? Heck no. She's waiting for him to respond, oh, no, baby. You are so beautiful. You are like the moon or the stars. If you're just a lily, well, the rest of them, they're like really ugly lilies. You know, I mean, he's got, okay. So there's this flirtatious dialogue that's going on all the time. Okay. Now, I debated whether to show this to you, but I'm going to do it just because. So I want to give you a little clip from a TV show, if it works. Last time, none of my videos would work, of a married couple who is trying to keep the spark alive, and they're flirting. Okay, so this is a married couple, but in their trying to, you know, keep romance alive and on fire, brewing. What's the word I'm looking for? They're pretending not to be married, and they're meeting at a bar. Okay, so just we'll see if it plays.
Usually doesn't play the first time.
You know what's funny is I even tried it earlier.
You jinxed it.
There we go. Yes.
I'm Juliana. What's up, Clyde? Are you in town for a convention, or do you just forget your name a
lot? I'm in town for a trade show. I design high-end electroacoustic transducers.
Specific.
It's a fancy way of saying I get things to make noise.
Clive, tell me, would you be interested in learning a merit badge tonight? Do you know anything about tying knots?
I probably shouldn't be talking to you. I'm a married man.
Oh, well. I just so happen to like married men. Tell me about your wife.
Well, she's beautiful, of course.
Buddy, oh, she's so very beautiful. Why are you here with me?
Because she's always so tired, and she's always making lists of things for me to do. Go back to your mouth and how sexy it is.
I want to go back to these alleged lists. So if your wife is so beautiful, why are you here with me?
Because I respect her too much. Whatever what I'm going to do to you.
All right. See, that is flirting. That's flirting. You used to do it all the time. You used to be experts in flirting. By the way, if you're offended by anything that you just saw, two things. One, you haven't been reading the Song of Songs. And secondly, Carrie found that clip, and I don't know. Hey, blame your wife. When has that ever gone bad? Am I right? No, I'm kidding. All right, so flirting. This is a playful sexual behavior involving verbal or written communication as well as body language by one person to another to suggest interest in a deeper relationship with the other person. My favorite word in this whole thing is playful. There's something when you're engaging with the other person and it's fun and it's playful, it's amazing. Like, anyway, all right. So how's your flirting game?
My wife's a big flirt.
See? Thank you, Tom. I believe it. That's awesome. Okay, so yeah, just backing up. Thank you, Janae. Okay, so I'm scared to ask this question. Okay. Hypothetically speaking, keeping it PG-13, what are ways that you flirt with your spouse, or what are ways that your spouse flirts with you? We're not going to spend a lot. Just give me a few things. There's really obvious stuff, but some of you might need a refresher on flirting. Okay.
Good whistle.
Whistle. Oh yeah, there you go. I whistle at Carrie all the time. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Even better. Yes. Love it. All right. What else? So a good well-timed whistle. Well played. I like it. Yeah, looks. Okay, so how you look at somebody. Words are can be very flirtatious. Suggestive hints. Texting, flirting by text is actually very effective. Notes. Yep. Variation on the text, but words, right? It can be verbal, it can be written down. What else? Yeah, winking. Yep. Music can be. Right, there's all kinds of ways that you can suggest to the other person what you have in mind. Touch. So one of the things that happens, like when Carrie and I first got married, it's like you can't keep your hands off of each other. Then you have kids, everything gets busy, and it's like you never touch each other. But if you go out of your way to touch the other person, suddenly that becomes flirtatious, right? The right kind of touch, Randy, okay? Wearing something special, this is more for the ladies, wearing something that catches his attention, catches his eye. Although I will tell you, there is a couple in the church, they will remain nameless, they are in their 80s. And they shared with a class one time that at night she would go to bed and she, you know, gets all tucked in, the lights are out, and then he would come in, he'd go to the bathroom and he would get ready for bed, and then he would walk out wearing only underwear and a bicycle light.
Wow, I really didn't need to know that.
They're in their 80s.
I'm taking notes. Can you please keep going?
Yeah. So guys, you can wear something special too. That's my point.
Did he do the bullet thing?
You know what? That was, at that point, we're like, you know, don't stop. You know, just, we don't want to know. I know, you don't want to know who it is? I'll tell you later. No, I won't. I know it was scarring. Okay, playing games together can be fun. And that can be, so there's two different ways you can do this. One is you can create games. Like, for example, every time a child cries, give your spouse a quick kiss. Because, man, I hate it when my kids cry, but if I get a little kiss out of it, you know, it's not a bad deal. Or you can take a board game and just make it more interesting. I'll let you can figure that out. Okay, so flirting with your spouse takes a little creativity, takes a little energy. It's a good thing to do. Now, the corollary of this is the other side of it though, okay? You flirt with your spouse and no one else. So Christina Pasoli is an author, lawyer, and a divorce-specific behavioral coach, which means that she coaches people who are going through divorces. If you think she hasn't seen nastiness, think again. So she gives five ways that those innocent, harmless flirting advances outside of your marriage are incredibly devastating. I won't spend a ton of time on this, but I thought these were really, really good. One, your outside interest is fueled by energy stolen from your marriage. So on the one hand, you go home and you don't have energy, you don't have time to flirt with your spouse, but you seem to somewhere else, with somebody else. Make sense of that, okay? So you're robbing your marriage. And this one goes with it. Your outside interests will weaken your marriage. Marriage is about mutual love and care and looking out for the other person, right? It's putting the other person first. But in those moments where you are flirting with somebody else, you're only thinking about yourself. I mean, there's no other way to interpret that. That is about you and how that person makes you feel. It is selfish, and it will weaken your marriage because you're no longer doing something together, but you're actually, again, stealing energy that should be going to your spouse and to your marriage and giving it to somebody else. I thought this was really good. Your spouse is at a competitive disadvantage, and that's because your spouse doesn't know they're in a competition. So what happens is you are flirting innocent with your flirt buddy, and whether you intend to or not, there's a comparison being made. This person's so fun. This person's so interesting. My wife isn't like this. My husband's not like this. And your spouse doesn't even know that they're being compared and that they're in a competition for your attention. Your spouse looks way better and you look way worse than you think. So that person that you're flirting with, you are only seeing them at certain times of the day. I'm guessing it's not when they rolled out of bed and have morning breath. I'm guessing it's not when they're wrestling the kids at bath time, right? You're seeing them when they look their best for these very specific, isolated moments in time. And guess what? They're seeing you in the same way. If they saw you the rest of the time, they wouldn't think you were so hot either. And not only that, but your spouse, guess what? When he or she dresses up and somebody sees them in those moments, they look just as good. Just as good. Just ask somebody who's trying to flirt with them. So, how do you want to play that game? And then, lastly, your innocent flirtations will lead to an affair. So, here's the deal. I don't want to overstate this. I'm not saying, oh yeah, you will have a physical affair if you flirt with somebody. But I will say that the odds are good that you'll have an emotional affair. You will have a attachment to this person that you no longer have with your spouse or that damages that connection with your spouse. And you are crossing a line. And as soon as you cross that line, it makes it that much easier to cross the next one. Now, if you're sitting there going, well, wait a minute, where's that line? Let me give you a really simple way to know where the line is. If you are thinking it's just harmless and innocent, if you're having that conversation in your mind, you've crossed that line. Does that make sense? If your spouse were to see you and say, that's not cool, and you start making up excuses of why it's no big deal, you've crossed that line. Okay, as soon as that inner monologue kicks in and you're trying to defend what you're doing, it's time to back way up. Okay, so flirt with your spouse, but no one else. No one else. It's a big, big deal. And I understand because it is easy to fall into when you're home. There's so much distraction. There is so much going on all the time trying to, you know, whether it's your kids. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have gone home excited to spend time with Carrie. It's like, oh man, I'm going to have this great evening with Carrie. I can't wait to see her. I'll tell her about my day and all of this. And then I get home and just feel the life and the energy sucked out of me by these four little vampires who look suspiciously like the two of us, you know? I don't know where they came from, but there they are. Okay, and so that happens. And so, yes, it's easier during the day to have that kind of energy, but you got to direct it differently. You got to direct it differently. Flirt with your spouse and nobody else, okay? But that's not the only thing to notice here. Throughout the songs, you'll notice that in different poems, different songs, sometimes the man takes the initiative in romance, but sometimes he doesn't. So oftentimes it's the man who's initiating, having the conversation. Sometimes here it's her. You'll notice there's a back and forth all the time, and it raises an interesting question, I think. Who is in charge of romance? Who's in charge of romance? When you first are dating, when you're first together, man, romance is easy. You remember what that was like? I mean, you walk in the same room together and there's like, you feel the romantic tension. You sit close to one another and you get butterflies and goosebumps. You know, your hands just like graze, reaching for the same thing at the dinner table and there's electricity. So nobody needs to be in charge. Nobody needs to take responsibility. It just happens. It's just a way of life. But then over time, it begins to change. So before Gabriel was born, Carrie and I, when we would eat dinner together, there was no question about who was going to do the dishes afterwards. It was never a conversation, because sometimes I do it, sometimes she do it, sometimes we do it together. It was just an understood. We both did it. After Gabriel was born, I distinctly remember the moment that it struck me that we were sitting there at the dinner table. Our brains are fried from, he was a terrible sleeper. He was a complete train wreck for a firstborn. And we were, you know, naive anyway. Had no idea what we were doing. And we're sitting there at dinner and we finish eating and we're so drained. And we're sitting there and I remember looking at her thinking, we're both waiting for the other person to make the first move. We're both waiting. Who's going to break first? Then it's like a game. Chicken, you know? I'll just keep, I need another cup of water, you know? So it's the same idea with romance. The temptation when it gets difficult is to wait for the other person to make the first move because you are so tired. You are drained. You have no energy and life is hard and all the rest of it. I get it. And so the temptation is, man, I really hope they do. I really hope they make that first move. And the problem is either it never happens, or one of you finally breaks and it doesn't feel like, oh, this is serving and loving the other person. It feels like, fine, I'll do it. And then bitterness sets in. But the secret is, whose responsibility is it? It's both of yours. It's both of ours. And when you both do it, it changes the dynamic. When you both do it, then it begins, right? Then it's the two of you together. Okay, so who's in charge? Yeah, you are. You are. I think that's all I need to say about that. It's not just the wife's responsibility, and it's not just the husband's responsibility. Either you both do it, or it ain't going to work. Okay. Coming back here. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, please. Yeah, don't keep score. Yeah. Right. Yeah, if you see it as both of your responsibilities. Yeah, if you see it, so it's the same thing with the dishes, right? If I sit there and go, well, I did it last night. So you have to get completely shift out of this mentality, and you both have to, instead of worrying about the other person, just take responsibility yourself. And there may come a time where you have to have a conversation. I feel like I'm the only person ever instigating. That goes back to a couple of weeks ago. We talked about how do you talk about your sex life together? Okay? How do you talk about through these things? So there does come a point where you need to have that conversation. But if you're keeping score, then that means you're not in the right place. Okay. So let's notice something else here. She has a plan. You notice this, she knows what she wants to happen, and she's kind of got it sketched out, okay? So let's go to the countryside. Let's spend the night in the villages. And at the bottom, she says, I've stored, so the mandrakes send out their fragrance and our love, twill love. The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my lover. There's a plan involved. She knows what she wants to do. She knows how she wants it to happen, and she has this sketched out in her mind, and she invites him along in the process. Now, there's a couple of applications, I think, for this, but I think they look different for men and women. I'm going to tread very lightly, as I always try to when I'm speaking to the ladies, because I do not pretend to have any idea what is actually going on in your minds. But, yeah, right? Treading lightly and carefully here. One of the things that I notice here is what she's saying. The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our doors every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my lover. It's this idea that she has stored up romantic thoughts and emotions and energy for her man. So I don't think this is too much of a stretch. Don't throw anything at me. Ladies, romance isn't something that you simply flip the switch and it happens. Again, treading lightly here. Life is busy. Kids are exhausting. Work, whether it's at home or in office, is never ending. And because of that, it's very easy to not have energy at night. Okay? So a very wise woman, who is not here, unfortunately, because I would let her say this, was speaking to a group of young couples and young women, and it was relayed back to me. I wasn't in there, but I thought it was brilliant. She said, listen, wives, there are going to be days when you have to make a choice whether to vacuum your house or clean your bathroom or have sex with your husband. And she said, so make the right choice. And the right choice, just in case you're wondering, your husband isn't going to care about the bathroom or the vacuuming. Okay? Like, he might when he walks in, but he's not going to care. He's not going to care. Okay? It's just, this is the unromantic reality of life, is that you only have so much energy. You only have so much energy is the word I'm looking for. That's all I got. Okay? So she's storing it up. She's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is where we're headed. So I'm storing up this energy, romantic thoughts, romantic emotions, all of this passion so that she will be ready at the end of the day. All right. And then this is for the guys. I know, guys. Oh, sorry, this, I can just be frank with you because I get you. You're like, romance? Done. Like, 2 seconds, you're in the mood, you're ready to go, I get it, okay? But your wife is not wired that way. And so part of the way that you can help her and you can love her and you can serve her is by making sure that you're giving her time and attention and all of that so that she's beginning to store up those romantic feelings and emotions. This is where flirting is so helpful. You flirt with your wife throughout the day, well, that's part of storing up romance for her husband later. And so, guys, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be spontaneous, but interestingly enough, what I often find is that what feels spontaneous to the women actually takes a lot of planning on the guy's part. So, yes, it can feel spontaneous. You're like, my wife likes to have no plan at all. She doesn't want to necessarily know what the plan is, but she likes it if you do. So you need to have a plan. You need to put some creativity and some thought and some energy ahead of time into what's going to happen. Now, this does not have to be rocket science. This does not have to look like the invasion of Normandy. Okay? Strategically, it was a lot of planning. It doesn't have to be that way. Okay? You can be creative. You can find ways to do this. But if you will put a fraction of the energy and the creativity and the mind power that you put into work into your marriage will flourish. Your wife will feel it, she will know it, and she'll appreciate it, okay? All right, last time. Yeah, James.
So we just re-engaged the lesson on sexual intimacy, and one of the great statements in that lesson was that all of marriage is foreplay.
Yeah.
So kind of to your point, that it's more than just flipping the switch.
And this has been a theme that's come back week after week after week. If you've been in here, we keep coming back to this, that it's that romance is a way of life. It's a way of doing marriage together. And not everything is romantic all the time. But if you're not cultivating it, if you're not working at it, then it will die. It will go on life support, if nothing else. And so we have to bring energy to it, both for the men and the women. It looks different. But we have to bring energy, we have to bring creativity, we have to say this means enough that we're willing to prioritize it and invest in it. And, you know, if you don't do it, suffer the consequences, okay? So this is the last part. I want to come back to this. All of this is moving towards a specific direction, okay? So you have the flirting, you have the planning, you have all of this. It's moving towards something that's incredibly important, and that is time together. Duh. You're not doing it just so that, you know, you can play games together. The point is you're going to have time together away from, in our case, all distractions, which means kids and work and the rest of it. Okay, so getting time away, this is not optional. This is absolutely crucial to your marriage. It's not something, you know, that you can say, well, I don't really feel like it, or we never got around to it. Okay, now this can look all different ways. This could be a week away from the kids, that'd be amazing. Or it can be a date night at home and everything in between. Okay, so time away is really, really crucial because we have to have time for romance to flourish. We have to have time for romance to grow. You have to have that time without distraction where you can look at the other person and remember why you got married to begin with. We need those reminders. We need to remember, oh yeah, this is what I find so fascinating about her. This is what I find so attractive about him. And that takes time. You can't do it in the midst of all the craziness of life. It's very, very difficult. And so you need time away. There's all different ways you can do this. I understand Carrie and I have been, we've had kids for 9 years now. And in that time, our dates have looked very different at different times. And I understand how difficult it is to make this happen in the busyness of life and also in the expense of life. I mean, there's been, seasons of life where we couldn't afford a babysitter. By the way, there's no industry with higher inflation in the nation than the babysitting industry. I'm pretty sure you can major in it in college now and just make it a career. It's insane, okay? So I understand that there's seasons where I can't afford a babysitter and I can't afford to go out on a date. Dating at home, is it ideal? No. Is it the best thing ever? Probably not. But can you do it? Yes, you absolutely can. There are cheap dates at home. There's cheap dates out. Even if you're at home, you know the secret is? Change up the routine. Our brains need new things to keep us engaged. If you rearrange the furniture and sit in a different chair than you normally do to have a conversation, I'm not kidding. It can change the feel. Now we're in a new place having this conversation. Okay. Pick a different room to sit in. So you can be creative in some of this. You can pretend like you're on a first date. Yeah, Emery.
What we've done too is we co-op babysit.
Yes.
So find someone, a family close to you, and swap off the kids.
Yep.
That's an economical way to do it.
It is. We've done that too. Yep, we've done that too. And everything else. So different seasons call for different solutions. But be creative. Time away is not optional. It's something that you absolutely have to do. Let me give you a few. Actually, what I want to do, if I've got time for this, I wanted to go over some rules for dating your spouse, but I wanted to kind of, we were at the Oldie Wed game last night. It was Family Feud style. So I thought I'd get some people to shout out the top five do's for your dates with your spouse. Anybody want to play that game? So five do's for date night with your spouse. And I'm just going to pull this over here and we'll write them down. I can't hear you yet. Okay. Do's.
Open the door for her.
Open the door for her. I love it.
All the doors.
All the doors. I like that. All right, so these are do's.
Make a plan.
Yeah, have a plan.
Dress up for that.
Look nice.
Hold hands.
What? 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 What?
Hold hands.
Brush your teeth beforehand.
That's sad.
Wear pants. Okay.
The bar is low.
The bar is very low, clearly. I know what I'm dealing with this class. Okay. What else?
Hold hands.
Hold hands. Smile. Yeah, wait, hold hands, smile, thank you.
Compliment
was
the next one.
Ask questions.
Yeah, ask questions.
Eye contact.
Okay, this is a lot more than five. Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, you guys are good. You guys are good. So everybody's doing all of this on your date nights, right? Good, okay, just making sure. Okay, give me some don'ts. How have you, here's the question, how have you ruined a date night?
Don't
look at phone. What else?
Don't bring up old stuff.
Don't bring up old stuff, yeah. That's too long, okay?
Old stuff. Just write old stuff.
Don't talk about the kids.
Amen.
Talk about the kids. Kids.
Don't talk about money.
Ooh, money. That's a big one. Yeah, don't talk about money. That's not the time, right? You need those conversations. Talk about money, but not on a date. That's not the time.
Don't do something that you want to do. Do something that
they want to. Oh, there you go. There you go. Put other person first. I'm just summarizing. That's good. What else? Don'ts. Okay, that's good. All right, so we got a good list here. Oh, trying to break things. All right, let me give you, these are This is what we came up with. Five. Don't talk about the calendar, because that sucks the joy out of my life. Don't talk about the kids. Don't use the time to run errands. You ever do that? It's like, hey, while we're out. No. No. Okay. Don't complain about your spouse. That goes up with the, you know, talk about old issues and stuff. That's not the time to be like, by the way, I've been meaning to have this conversation with you. Don't talk about money. I think those are really good. Okay, do have a plan ahead of time. Do put the phone down. Do share an experience. Be curious. This goes with the ask questions. Too often we assume that we know everything there is to know about the other person. And so we sit down and we act like, been there, done that. Instead, recognize that your spouse is a person who is changing and dynamic and interesting. And so discover something. Like, have that curiosity when you sit down, like when you went for a first date. You had all kinds of things to learn. Now you just have to work a little harder at it. But if you believe there's something to learn, then you'll go find it. Okay? Be curious. Talk about the past and the future. And by this, I mean this. Reminisce about the good things. So you think about those times where things were great, a great experience or whatever. Those are moments to reminisce about. And then when you think about the future in a positive light, all of that can be part of kindling romance in your conversation. If the past is only ugly, leave it there. Okay? But that's not true. That's not true. Right? Yeah, there may be things to let go of, but there are things in your past that were beautiful. So find them. Okay? And your future absolutely can be beautiful as well. Okay. Get away from the kids. It is cheaper than therapy or a divorce. Okay, so here's our conclusion here. So getting away, flirting, being creative, it all crucial to romance. Guys, we're going to have to stop here. I'm going to have to pick it up because we're running out of time, and I had a whole bunch more to cover. So this was fun, but we're just going to have to stop here. This week, if you've been waiting for that right moment, guys, to romance your wife, to sweep her off her feet, to make that romantic gesture, there's this date coming up. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's called Valentine's Day. So you might take advantage of it, just a thought. And ladies, this might be a good week to just, you know, catch your guy's attention. I bet you can do that pretty easily. Let me pray for us. And next week we'll be, if I can get through all of it, we're going to close out the Song of Songs next week. So come back for that.